If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the supreme love of our Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, the timelines are shifting. Which reality are you animating? Good question. Which reality are you animating? So, if you're ready, take a deep breath. And with your intention, connect with your divine self. And allow that love and wisdom and creative intelligence that you truly are to merge with your physical personality and integrate fully so that you show up as your whole light being. And let's chant Hue three times to spiritualize the mind and come present here and now. Deep breath. Hue. Start with a beautiful exercise given by Satya Sai Baba. And this is a letter written by Sai Baba to his college students. And, you know, it's every one of us. We are all in the University of Satya Sai. That is to say, the University of the One who reclines on truth. I begin. Children of immortality, remember that you are created in my image and likeness, perfect. Live up to this image in every way, in all planes. Live like masters. Walk this earth with your heads held high, your spirit soaring, your hearts open to love. And believe in yourself and God within you, then all will go well. Earth is but a manifestation of my being, made out of my life. Wherever you look, I am there. Wherever you walk, I am there. Whomsoever you contact, I am that person. I am in each, in all my splendor. See me everywhere. Talk to me and love me, who am in each. Then from each I will respond and bring you into glory. You cannot see me in one place and not in another, for I fill all space. You cannot escape from me or do anything in secret, for there are no secrets with me. Live. Live, live in perfect accordance with my laws, and wonders will ensue. Think now, does error clog the free-flowing essence of my being through you? Ask me this moment to reveal to you your errors in the silence of your meditation. Let old memories well up in you, from my subconscious in you. Old patterns, old forgotten feelings and thoughts. Now, plunge them into the ocean of light. Burn them from the consciousness so that you may be true emblems of my being. Right now, visualize my burning flame rising higher and higher as it burns through you. It is a flame that is cooling, cleansing, and healing, that soothes the hidden sorrow and leaves you calmed and quiet. Rest in my love. Let all that you have been through in your many lives up to this day melt away in my redeeming light. Children of my being, dissolve your sorrows and fears in me. Let me efface all your karma. Come back into my consciousness, which is your own true consciousness. Let your petty human self fade away right now as you come to me, who am your inner self. You are now my radiant, glorious self, no longer separate from me. Melt with me. Merge with me. Become me. With love, Baba. So take another deep breath and allow those sacred words to seep deeply into every part of your consciousness. So time, although it's an illusion, seems to be shifting. So, what is a timeline? A timeline is a previously enacted scenario, still present in consciousness, but already resolved now in eternity. So, in the eternal now, everything has already taken place within time-space, which is the, let's say, reflected mental patterns, but those reflected mental patterns do not touch the eternal now, nor affect the eternal you. You are forever one with your source, perfect, whole, and pure love. So in a sense, we are revisiting the subconscious that Sai Baba just said is his own subconscious within you. Because the divine creator is the one indwelling everyone, is the one that is the conscious self, is the one that is every aspect of our being. There is only that one. But it is perceived dimly when clouded with that tiny, miserable little thought form of disenfranchisement from the all that is, that silly little nightmare of separation from the all that is, that you truly are forever and ever. So, as we are experiencing our own collective, let's say, projections into time and space, it seems that we are selecting the timelines that we have the greatest affinity with. There's very subtle little shifts into a new timeline that seem to be going on now. I wonder what you're experiencing. Are you experiencing subtle shifts into a reality quite different from the one that's being shown on the daily news? Does that world seem so foreign to you that you find it nearly impossible to relate to it? I know I sure do. There is no semblance of what is shown on the news and my experiential reality that I live in and have lived in for some time. So the question is it possible that there are two, possibly more, pictures of reality that are commingling and that we are shifting between the two? A friend of mine sent an email of an experience of a couple that were up in Seattle, and they were out for a drive, and all of a sudden they entered a different zone. It was very dark and forbidding, if you will. And suddenly they were confronted with what looked like neo-Nazi terrorists. And suddenly they were in an environment that they didn't know where they were or what had happened. And later they realized, after they drove out of this horrible scenario, that they had somehow slipped into a warp, a time warp, in that area where the etheric veiling is very thin. And in that timeline of reality or nightmare, they had the Second World War had been won by the Nazis, and Hitler was in charge, and everything had changed. We were living in literally a prison of totalitarianism and fascism. And they interacted with the scenario as best they could, and then they kept driving, and then somehow they entered the congruent timeline that they were really in, and were shocked, as you can imagine, having had that experience. So let's consider that when we're looking at timelines, within the, let's say, the area of consciousness where everything has been lived out already, that everything is happening at the same time, and that every possible choice has been exercised. In one timeline, this happened. In another timeline, the opposite thing happened. And I think this is happening actually more than we realize it. I'm beginning to catch when I slip into another timeline. I shared last week of the strange, strange experience my friend and I had when we were in a meeting, and she immediately left her body, couldn't stay conscious, went up on the ship, I suppose, while I sat there feeling incredibly out of place. I had felt so freaky, so out of sync with what was happening. I just sat and observed the oddity of it. And then all of a sudden, the timeline shifted, and I was in a totally different version of that same reality with the same people. But instead of it being kind of dull and sepia, monochromatic, it was vibrant with life and beauty and vivacity, and the colors were bright. And everything seemed to come alive. And then she woke up, came back in her body, and was able to participate. Now, after that, my experience was that going into the meeting, I had my glasses on. I knew my glasses were on. I knew I had not taken them off. But when I shifted timelines, I didn't have my glasses on. And people went hurrying and scurrying everywhere looking for the glasses in case they could have, been left somewhere. But no, they were not to be found. They had shifted in or been left in the old reality. So when you have these shifts in and out, sometimes what happens, you go in the, you go in your house, you put your keys on the counter as you always do, go to the bathroom, turn around, come back in the kitchen, and the keys are not there. And you know and remember putting them on the counter. So that's an example of how subtle these shifts back and forth can be. Now, what happened after my friend and I had this experience was it was like magic. Everything in our environment came through the greatest of ease and joy. There was a joy and a flow that was nothing short of miraculous. People I needed to meet, things I needed to get in line for future talks that I was supposed to give at this place, fell into place. The people I needed to meet found their way to me. I didn't have to seek them out. And that seems to be what happens when we move into the most positive outcome scenarios, is that the things that we sought or needed, we don't have to work for them. They find us. They come to us. The people, the finances, the facilitation, the arrangement. Everywhere we went, there was a parking place directly in front of where we had to go. There was an ease of traffic and connection with the people, and only the people, that we were in resonant harmony with. If we tried to connect to someone that was not in that field, we couldn't make the connection. And it was a definite feeling. It's like, oh, they're not quite in sync here. But all the people who were in sync with that reality, they were ready without a second's notice. It's as if everything was so divinely orchestrated that everyone's timing and arrival and interaction, it was like a choreographed perfect dance. So if you find yourself in a scenario that you're not in sync with, that feels really off, and you're attracting negative people into your life that are not in that sync, not in that harmony, excuse me, not in harmony with where you are and what's happening, okay? For example, they might be late. They might say, oh, I have another appointment. I can't meet with you. I'm sorry, but I have other plans. They won't be in sync. They won't be on that same flow. And it becomes so noticeable energetically that you go, wow. I mean, it's really becoming obvious now. So what happens if you have a mixture? You must move into maintaining the highest, most divinely loving state that you possibly can. Because if you go into any kind of polarization where you take a stand against anyone or even for anyone at the expense of another, you have sided with that template of duality that seems to be taking its own course. But it's not the course of ascension and transfiguration and transcendency that you and I are on. They're taking a different route because they still are caught up in the template of duality and caught in the noose of time. So, for example, if you encounter a negative person in your environment, the best thing you can do is hold a neutral place. You may interact with them, but only from a very neutral and positive place within yourself. If you have the slightest vestige of anger or angst against that person, you will hook right into their reality, which is not a pleasant one. It's one of fighting and strife and bickering and blaming and accusing and all sorts of nastiness. Do not polarize. Keep your divine equanimity. Hold your space. Sai Baba said that we can't always oblige, but we can always speak obligingly. So we're becoming like those, let's call them Jedi masters, who never waste energy in strife or combativeness. The whole program of being, for example, a martial arts master, a real one, is to avoid conflict, if at all possible. To avoid combat, if at all possible. To direct the energy of your opponent in the direction he wants to go and away from the field that is combative to your energy. So when a master of the martial arts acts, it's always with great awareness of the importance of conserving energy so it's not wasted. And so it's utilized to direct the outcome with the least amount of expenditure of energy, and so that it is a positive for both. You help your opponent or would-be opponent go in the direction he or she is going, and you hold your own space. Now, if conflict is absolutely unavoidable, the Jedi Master or the martial arts master will do everything possible to subdue the opponent with the least amount of energy and the quickest amount, quickest action and the least amount of expenditure of energy. I have, in all the years that I have been in the presence of greatly evolved souls and masters, I have yet to ever see any one of them ever argue. They never argue. They never hold to a firm position against anyone or anything. Now, when they sit in a council meeting, each one will have a very different approach to how to solve the problem at hand, if that's what's being discussed. But each viewpoint is completely understood, completely honored, completely recognized, even though they may be very different approaches. But never, never, never will you see them argue. Now, these people who argue over differences of religion, my guru is better than your guru, my God is higher than your God, you know, all of that nonsense. You have to realize these people are not self-aware. They are acting out of the ego. They are about as far from realizing God as it can get, because until you can see God in the face of everyone in front of you, you haven't realized God yet. And so that goes for every form of combativeness. People that enter into strife and discord simply are saying, I am not self-aware. I can be hooked. I can have my energies hooked very easily. All you have to do is tweet or broadcast something I don't like, and I fly into a rage. Such a person is acting out of a greatly immature sense of being. They have not yet awakened. They're asleep. So anger is the first indication that a person has fallen into a deep subconscious state and they've lost conscious awareness. So be very careful. The slightest hint of irritation, step back and recenter yourself. Because Jesus in A Course of Miracles said that even the slightest irritation but dimly veils a murderous rage. And witness how quickly infantile exchange and dialogue can result in a scenario in which the world could come to war, and even a world which could be destroyed. So that is a timeline that you definitely do not want to affinitize with. And you are drawn into it through lack of emotional control and lack of mental discipline. You must bring your mind in alignment with where you want to go. It's all about your intention. For example, when you're on the inner planes and there's no up, no down, no in, no out, you're in a pure field of unconditioned, unformed divine essence. What are you going to do? How do you travel if you have no body and there's no time and no space? You manifest your intention. You manifest your intention and you are instantly at the point of your intention. There's absolutely no traveling. None of that. There's no movement in time-space. You embody your intention instantly. And so intention is literally the God force and power within you. So we may be shifting into timelines. Why would we shift into a timeline at all? Well, for one thing, we are the directors, the creators, the directors, and the editors, much like a director when he's looking at the raw footage of a film that's just been shot. And he needs to decide where to edit, where to cut it, where to bring the story more in line with the message and intention that he had wished to convey by that film. So like that, we can revisit timelines and tweak them, edit them, revisit them, and enact them in more excellent, more masterful ways. We get to revisit in slow motion the sequence of a timeline, which is the value, really, of time. The value of time is that we can revisit in sequential unfoldment previous actions and where they took us. And by revisiting them now, we can make those necessary adjustments. We can reframe them, as the saying goes. So, will we at some point find ourselves irrevocably drawn into a particular world that matches our picture of reality? What do you think? Or what do you know? Or what do you sense? Some say we are ascending from the third dimension, Earth, through the fourth dimension, which acts as a sort of filter, and on into the new fifth dimensional Earth. That's a very strong thought form that's out there. So the fourth dimension filters those energies and states of consciousness that are incompatible with a world of living love, truth, and peace. In other words, the golden age or Satya Yuga we are now moving into. So what are you experiencing? What do you sense is happening in your own life? And moreover, what is happening behind and beyond the scenes of what is shown on the daily news? Many intuitive seers and spiritual teachers say we define the reality, the world and timeline we are experiencing by our vibration and our predominant state of consciousness. And yet our vibrations and states of consciousness tend to shift moment by moment, depending on what we are thinking, feeling, expressing. So where does that place us if we're not established in one state, say, for example, self or God realization? So there's another factor here. One predominant factor that remains steady and constant throughout the ups and downs of life, that is the overarching or underlying state, is our intention, our original intention. In my experience, it is one's intention that determines one's direction, reality, and defines the destination. Now, this is the most important question we must ask ourselves and answer for ourselves. What is my overall life's intention? Right now, if asked, could you define your intention? Ask yourself right now, when I incarnated on Earth this time, my intention was to fill in the blank. When I incarnated on Earth this time, my intention was to, and answer that question, and you'll find your intention most likely. Your real intention is why you do what you do. Your intention is revealed by what you've spent your time thus far doing, focused upon and involved with. Or, more precisely, the results produced by your intention. For example, what effect has your life had on others? For example, in my case, my intention was to awaken people to their divine self. So the result of interacting with me is a greater awakening to that divine self. And I came in kind of with a head start to that, because I came in knowing God from previous lifetimes and was directed at a very, very young age, between 5 and 6, by Jesus, who told me to help troubled people find God, help them make that connection with their divinity. So that intention has manifested my entire life, although I've changed many, many, I've had like 6, 7, 8 different lifetimes within this one. And each one, that was the intention, and that was the effect. So look at your own life and see if you can find that common thread of intention that runs throughout. Now, sometime your profession, let's say, your job, your career, looks like one thing on the outside, but if you look at the intention, it's totally a different thing on the inside. Say, for example, a person who is operating, let's take a wild thing here. Let's say they're a whistleblower, okay? And they're causing a lot of outer trouble for people in the world, seemingly, because they're blowing their cover. They're showing the covert negative things going on behind the scenes. It looks like they're making a big problem for themselves and others. But wait, what is the intention of that soul? When you look at the intention is the love of truth and the desire to reveal the truth, even if it costs that person their life, their reputation, their citizenship, whatever. That's the difference between the inner intention and sometimes how it plays out in the outer world. That same love for truth and justice and human rights, and the equity that we should all be able to have that gives us a decent life throughout the planet. An honored, recognized, decent life. Food, shelter, medical care, education should be the right of all beings, everywhere they live, clean drinking water, things like that. So you'll see many light workers out in the field as social activists, as people who are lobbying in the various places, trying to legislate new laws, more just laws. You see, behind that is the intention for a decent life, equality, for human rights to be honored. So you'll see that deep core of people that look like they're making a big brouhaha out in the world, but if you look at the intention of the spirit, you'll see what's really there. Now, when people are acting from the old paradigm and they are operating through karma, and not through Dharma. Dharma would be alignment with your divine intent, or the God in you. God literally is intention. The God power in you that materializes instantly is pure, aligned intention. So when you see people that are acting out of hatred, vengeance, cruelty, attacking, blaming, defending, castigating, pointing fingers, and polarized in a very negative place, these people are caught in an old timeline of karma. They're enacting karma, and they're not going to be able to pass through that fourth dimensional filter. Karma and negativity and ego and hatred and prejudice and bigotry and all of that nonsense, no way, no how is it going to make it into the vibrations of living love, which constitute the golden age. So what's going to happen to them? They're gradually dying out, and they're gradually shifting into the timeline where they're probably going to create a war, because that's what they like. That's what they like. They're in that ego state, which is completely ignorant and unaware of the oneness of all life. And they're not interested in that. They're interested in being right and having power. They're not interested in unity and oneness. And you have to learn to recognize when people are operating out of that template and let them go their way. You're not going to change them. You're not going to convince them. You have to leave them to God, because ultimately they are incarnations of the divine. They're just enacting old timelines arising out of their unhealed subconscious. And they'll have their time. They'll reincarnate eventually on a planet that is in the ascension again. But this is your time. I've heard John Roger, wonderful master teacher that I studied with most of my life, and Sai Baba both say that Baba says this time will not come again. The opportunity that we have now, he said, beware, will not come again. And John Roger has said that if you don't make it this time, you may have to go back 26,000 years and begin on another planet that is just barely entering into the primordial state. That's a lot of wasted time, folks. But then, to God, it's all a dream anyway. You won't remember anyway. So there's no big deal one way or the other. But for functioning right now, here and now, today, with the disparate patterns that are acting out on the surface of the planet, you have to be very intentional in moving into what you would animate as your reality. And you're going to find, as my friend and I were finding, that certain people have started to fade out of your life. Where's that friend that you used to be in such close contact with? They never call. They never email. It's as if they are in another totally different realm. And there's no more interaction. There's no more attachment to interacting. They may be your family members. They may be your spouse. They may be your children or grandchildren. They may be friends you've had for 45 years. But all of a sudden, they're no longer in your life. And you won't miss them. That's the odd thing about it. You don't miss them. If you think of them at all, you go, "Oh, I wonder what happened to so-and-so." And then you're off to here and now in the life that you're choosing to animate for yourself. It's so important to keep your eyes single so your whole body can be filled with light. And that means, as we spoke in the last seminar, keeping your consciousness focused in the center of your head, back behind your eyebrows, in the center of the soul, the seat of the soul, the seat of the Christ that you are, the Christ consciousness within you. And connecting to that inner sound current because that is the energy that pulls you up and allows you to transcend the mind and all scenarios. You transcend time and space when you're in the soul consciousness, and it's connected to the name of God. The most important thing you can do now is cultivate the habit of continually intoning the name of the Lord within your mind. You can chant Hu, Soham, Anai Hu, Om Sai Ram, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Lord and Savior. Whatever you chant, let it go on in your mind until your mind itself takes the form of that mantra and begins to chant for you. That's your mantra. That's your initiatory tone. That's a mantra or name of God that you are drawn to and you select for yourself. Perhaps that's one that has been given to you. A friend the other day said that he encountered Jesus on the inner planes during his spiritual exercises, and Jesus gave him a mantra. So you can ask the Lord himself to give you a mantra or to guide you to one. But the name of God is your greatest protection, your greatest assurance that you are walking with the Lord moment by moment by moment. And then who cares about timelines and the illusion of time and space and becomingness? Huh? Who cares? Live in God. As Baba said, melt with me, merge with me, become me. That's the idea. And the name and the form always come as one. So when you say Jesus, Jesus immediately takes his presence right where you are, and your mind takes the shape of the form of the Lord whose name you just called. So create for yourself a Jesus mind, a Sai Baba mind, a Buddha mind. Put your own name there, a Divine Mother mind, an Amici mind, a Ramakrishna mind, whatever. But let that mind that was in Christ Jesus be the mind that is in you. And that mind had but one focus, and that was to fulfill the will of the Father who sent him. And Sai Baba has said, I am the Father who sent Jesus. So you're looking here at the Father, Mother, God principle. You're looking here at the one who came forward to represent all of us as the collective sons and daughters of God. And you have that Holy Spirit in the form of intention that's causing everything to happen through us as divine instruments. So pay attention in these shifts of consciousness that are taking place. I think it's so fun. I don't know how anyone can ever be bored. If you keep alert and aware and watch what's happening in each moment, we can actually enter in and out of different states of consciousness sitting in our chair. You can place yourself anywhere you want to be. You don't have to get on an airplane or a train or whatever. Just set your intention, hold that focus, and watch what happens. Watch the collective field of infinite potentiality surround you with whatever you are intending. And you'll see that you're animating it by your own intention. That means as you step out into the void and you imagine a step, or you intend, let's say you intend to step out into the void, that step will manifest under your foot. That's how you move in the interdimensional planes. That's how you bilocate. That's how you, what do they call it? Time jumping. Where you jump from one timeline, one reality to another. It's all done with a very clear intention. I know in the insight trainings we used to take, when people would stand up and give some excuse why they were late, the trainer would always say, well, based on intention, you didn't intend to come on time. You intended to be late. No, I didn't. My car broke down. I had a flat tire. My friend interrupted me. No. Based on intention, your intention was not to arrive at the training on time. No. And you hear the ego making all the excuses, right? But based on intention is what you have in your life right now. And there's no sidestepping, because we are the creators of the world that we live in. Yeah, there's a bigger world beyond ours that God created, absolutely perfect, out of time, space. But we think we're living in a human body, in a world that we can watch on TV, and that it has some reality, and that's why we're stuck here. Through God's incredible grace, I believe, from my understanding of Sai Baba's teachings, that if we leave the world to Him and repeat the name of the Lord that we most love, we are carried through grace and not through our efforts into the new paradigm. This is not a doing thing. I think if we were left to our own resources, if the avatar hadn't come, well, I can't even imagine the state of our world or where we would be headed. Sai Baba said he's much like a great airplane that lands temporarily and takes on passengers and then lifts off. And so let's just consider that we are passengers in the avatar's plane, spaceship, whatever, Merkaba, whatever you want to call it. And let's lift off and let the world go the way of the world. And those who are so fond of these timelines of conflict, let them have at it. But you and I, this is our time to awaken as the beloved, to enter a world that Sai Baba said there's no vestige of negativity whatsoever. There's only love and peace, no crime, none of the things that have made our world so miserable, so many needlessly suffering, horrible wars. None of that is in the world of Satya Sai, the golden age of truth that we are moving into. So it's important to be true to yourself. Above all else, be true to your sacred heart. Don't be false ever to yourself. If everyone in the world stands and criticizes you and says how foolish and deluded and so forth and so on you are, keep your eyes on the Lord, keep the name on your tongue, and keep following the Lord in steadfast devotion and love, and you will always be on the right path. It is so natural. It is so unambiguous. It is so uncommon in this world of so much distraction and nonsense to find a person that is focused 100% on the Lord. Within your own heart, within your intention, God is literally living in you as you. You are God's incarnation. You are not the person you think you are. You are an incarnation of immortal love. You are the divine presence presenting here. Oh, granted, it may be covered with some veils of your misidentifications. You know, you tend to identify at the point of sensation, which means we usually identify with our physical body. Or we identify with our thoughts. It takes some meditation and some contemplation to realize that you're not your body and you're not your thoughts. And it makes very little difference whether you're in physical incarnation or not. Very little difference. You gain nothing by being here, and you gain nothing by leaving here. Because wherever you are, you're still the I am that is, forever and evermore. So begin to experience yourself as life itself, as ever-expanding life. You'll find, if you really look, that you are attached to life, not your body. You're really attached to experiencing fullness of life, not your thoughts. Your thoughts are very seldom happy ones. There's usually some problem that you're ruminating about that really has only one answer: wake up. You can't fix a problem where none exists. Every problem comes from identifying with separation. If you don't identify with separation, there's no problem. Observe that. Become aware of how true that is. The mind can take the shape of the ego, which is separation, polarization, againstness, conflict, and so forth. Or it can take the shape of the Lord if you repeat his name. What kind of mind would you like to have? Remember, your mind takes the shape of what you're thinking about. It has no shape. It takes the form of what you're thinking about. And it often looks like a little dark cloud, brooding cloud, rather than a golden radiance of glory, which is how a illumined mind looks. The crown of glory. So I would suggest, as we're entering into this incredibly powerful time, as we're working up to August 21st and the full solar eclipse, many of the prophetic seers have said that we are setting in place the template of what we will be individually moving into, that our thoughts manifest very, very quickly and radically. So be careful what you're thinking, what you're holding in your consciousness. What would it be like if you just agreed with what God has to say about you? God says that you're immortal. You've never been born, nor shall you ever die, nor can you ever cease to exist. That you are Sat, truth itself, Chit, ever-expanding awareness, and bliss, all-pervasive joy of being, which also is the deepest peace you can imagine, and sense of wholeness of being. That's what God says you are. You've never done anything wrong. You've only lost your sense of self in a dreary dream, or even a happy dream. Sometimes Maya takes the form of a happy dream. otherwise would really be intent upon waking up if it was always unpleasant. But you see, the ego's clever. It'll give you a little tidbit of happiness here and there. You think you fall in love, but it doesn't last. You make a lot of money, but it too has a way of slipping through your fingers. You're happy because you have good health, and then all of a sudden you don't. Or you're happy because you have some talent or ability, and then maybe you have an accident. You can't dance anymore, or you can't sing, or you can't act, or whatever it is that you thought gave you joy and fulfillment. So it's a nasty piece of work, this ego, because it will demand from you a great deal for just a little modicum of temporary happiness that quickly fades and always leaves you lacking and wanting more. It's a trick. It's a trap. The ego really wants to convince you that there's something in this outer world that can give you peace and happiness and fulfillment. And every God-realized master that's ever trod this earth said it's a big lie. You will only find it when you have found yourself. And that self that you find is the God, the one God of all creation, and the one who is dwelling in every single being as that Atma, that one spirit. So enjoy the play of time, space. I think it's fun. Be very focused on what you would have as your reality. Do not affinitize with people who are in a reality that you do not agree with. You don't have to argue it. Just take your own path. And it's yours. You can make it any way you want it. You have complete freedom to manifest your reality exactly as you would have it be. And it'd be really cool if we ascend into the fifth dimension through God's grace. And we transcend death as an experience in the nightmare. I don't know, but I'm headed in that direction. I'm headed in that direction. And you decide where you want to head and what you want to animate. So let's visualize the Earth, and let's see it morph into an ethereal, more of a plasmic state, so that as the earthquakes and things cause, the Earth, as the Earth moves to accommodate these energies, let us see all the areas which could fracture in earthquakes. Let's see them go into a state where there's just a flow and adjusting, like a plasmic state, where everything just kind of adjusts without any sharp jolts or fractures, that there's a white light covering the earth. And there's an ease with the earth because we are surrounding the earth and holding her in love and in the vision of her perfect movement. If you want to see that movement through a fourth dimension where everything that man has miscreated and polluted, as it passes through that fourth dimension, is purified. So that when it emerges in the fifth dimension, there's no pollution. And there's no man-made synthetics. There's just the original pure elements of the earth and nature. And we have a pristine and beautiful, clean, new world. That's how the Native Americans see our transition. And I think they ought to know because they've been given custodianship as the earth guardians and earth keepers. So I think it pays to listen to them. The Koji and the Hopi and the others, all of them, have a wisdom that we need to hear and abide by. So let's celebrate our movement into a new timeline, if you want to call it that, into the ascension, into the fifth world, into the fifth dimension, whatever you want to call it. But let's move into the place of living love. Let's allow living love to be our predominant intention. And let's animate that, shall we? So let's go out chanting three Anai hues, which is the chant of unification and empathy. Deep breath. Anai hue. Anai hue. Anai hue. And together we say, may all the beings of all the worlds have peace. May all the beings in all the worlds be happy. May all the beings in all the worlds awaken to the divine being that they truly are. Namaste.